Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Well, how is everyone at Life Church? You're good, you're sounding good. Are you ready this morning? So nice to be with you all. We have had a fantastic time away with the young adults. It was so cool just to see what God is doing. And what a great community. What a great unity amongst the young people and the young adults and just their passion and hunger for God. My wife's back home this morning, Pentecost Sunday. It's a great Sunday for all churches across Australia. And they're back there with my three beautiful kids. My wife's Bulgarian, by the way. That's Eastern European. If you didn't know, I didn't know it, where Bulgaria was when we first met. I was like, what is that, like a burrito or burrina? Bulgaria, where is that? But yeah, she can speak five languages. She can speak Bulgarian, Russian, French, Yugoslav, and English. And I speak one, Australian. So we're a great match. We're a great match. But we got three beautiful kids at home. We've got Jaya, who is 17. And she's just got a peas, and so our prayer life has increased. And then we've got Taj, who's 15, and he's just a little keen surfer and loves sports, loves the outdoors. And then we've got little Aria, and Aria's just a little cutie. She's 8 years old. She's like a mum. She's got a mum's eyes, a mum's ears, a mum's smile, and my last name. And so it's good, but God is good. Are you ready for this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. And we just say today, God, we're open to see it for you. We're open for your word to speak into our hearts, for your spirit to move. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Let's thank the team as well for all they do. Fantastic. And, well, like Craig said, we've been long-time friends with Nadia and Keddy and I. We've known each other for a long time, done a lot of life together. We both started out as youth pastors and both just working it out along the way. But, you know, it's been a friendship that's been genuine. And we've known for a long time that our spirits have been knitted together. We've often just talked about that and known that. And it's like, you know, when you haven't seen friends for a while, you just pick up where you left off. It's like nothing was there, you know. And these guys, they're long-term friends in ministry. And I know that you guys are very appreciative of them as your pastors and what they're building and doing here. And so thanks for having me, allowing me to come. All right, if you got your Bibles, I'm going to go straight to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it is Pentecost Sunday. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. Someone say power. Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This morning, I just want to talk very simply about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or if you're looking for a title, you can call it Power, 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 Holy Spirit, Power. That's what I'm talking about. Because the thing that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world is the fact that Jesus Christ rose again and gave his Holy Spirit to everyone on all of the earth to live with. And that power is not limited. The power of the Holy Spirit is not limited to just really good people or just really holy people or people that just do really good or people that are, you know, have everything together. No, the Holy Spirit is not just limited to good people. The Holy Spirit is for all people. The Bible says he'll pour out his Spirit on all people, not on all Christians, but on all people. And I've seen it many times in meetings where people come in for the first time and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful to see. In John 3, verse 34, it says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. He's not limited. He's unlimited. You think about things that are unlimited. Think about like restaurants like Sizzler. Anyone remember Sizzler? Do you guys remember Sizzler? When it was all you can eat, unlimited food. How good was Sizzler? People would fly in from New Zealand just for a meal at Sizzler. They'd come over for a bit of a Sizzler. Oh, I love Sizzler. Think about Hungry Jack's unlimited refills. I like that, unlimited refills. Of course, back in the day, there was Pizza Hut. All you can eat Tuesday. Anyone remember when Pizza Hut was a dine-in restaurant? You know, it was all you can eat. One time, true story, one time, I went to Pizza Hut with a few of my friends after school, Tupperware container in my backpack. Went up there and I'd have one and then slip one in the backpack. That day, it was a Tuesday, we came home, I had 21 pieces of pizza in my backpack. I'm not endorsing that. But all I knew was those all-you-can-eat Tuesday, unlimited. That's what it was, unlimited. Well, did you know that everything about the Holy Spirit is unlimited for your lives? He is unlimited for your... He's not limited by your situation or your revelation. No, He is unlimited power for our lives. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a battery recharge. He doesn't need to run off Energy Australia. He doesn't need to go off the solar panels. And guess what? With the Holy Spirit, there are no power outages. He doesn't have a power outage. No, the Holy Spirit, He's not a plan for your life. He's a person in your life. The Holy Spirit is not a mist. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not a force. He's not a tingle. He's not a goosebump. No, He's a person. He is a person of the Godhead. And when you start to see Him as a person, your relationship with Him will change. When you get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 1 and start in verse 4. I just want to read Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Read a little bit about the Holy Spirit here. It says in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, this is when Jesus was speaking to the disciples. It says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Someone say, wait. But wait for the gift My Father has promised. Understanding that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. He's not a reward. He's not something we parade around and look what I have. He's not someone that makes you superior. No, He's a gift. We should be humbled that He would even dwell in us. He's a gift. And the Bible tells us here to wait. He says, Jesus said, wait. And you know what? That's a big thing for us. Because we're not a generation that likes to wait. We can be very impatient. We like things instant. But the things of God are not always instant. And you have to learn to wait. And the Bible says here, wait for the gift, which you heard me speak about. Verse 5, for John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses, He says. Now go over to chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled. Someone say filled. He filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is what Jesus refers to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The word baptism literally means to be immersed. I love that. The filling of the Holy Spirit isn't just a little touch or a little toe dip or just go in knee deep. No, the Holy Spirit wants to immerse you. He wants you to be immersed in His presence, immersed in His power, immersed in His glory, because you don't need to go through life trying to do it on your own. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. He helps us live for Jesus, and He wants you to be immersed. And throughout Scripture, we see metaphors of what the Holy Spirit is like. Here we read the Holy Spirit is like a wind, that He was like a fire that came and rested on them. And throughout Scripture, we see this time and time again where the Holy Spirit is described as many things of what He is like. For example, in 1 John chapter 2, He's like oil. The Bible says, what is oil? Oil is what anoints with power. Oil is what anoints for healing. There's an anointing with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we talked about fire. What does fire do? Fire burns. By fire purifies. In John chapter 3, he's described as the wind, where he's strong yet can be a still breath. Wind is fresh and cleansing. He's like a dove in Matthew chapter 3, a dove that is gentle, that is kind, that is holy, that is peace. He's described as water in John chapter 7, rivers of living water. And water refreshes. Water quenches your thirst. He's like a cloud. He's like a guarantor, a seal, rain. He's described as new wine, the first fruits, a lamp. That's the baptism that we're hearing about, the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, every situation I face each day, I need the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I actually need Him, because I need His spirit nature to overcome my flesh nature. Because my flesh nature is not nice. It's selfish. It's prideful. It's ego. It's driven by self-desires and selfish intentions. And I need, there are times that I need His anointing for wisdom. The times when I need His passion when I'm feeling unmotivated. There's times when I need His peace when I'm faced with anxiety. There's times when I need His power when I'm faced with temptation. There's times when I need to be filled when I'm feeling empty. Need the Holy Spirit. Teddy and I, we ran Youth Alive for 10 years in New South Wales. And we used to have these retreats called the Youth Pastors Retreat, where we'd grab all the youth pastors from around New South Wales, and we'd have a 24-hour retreat. We'd have speakers, and we got down there. I remember we had the night meeting the night before, and the next day we were staying in this hotel where everyone was, and we went down for the buffet breakfast. How many people love a good buffet? Oh, come on, I love a good buffet. And so my kids were young then. I only had two at the time. It was Jaya and Taj. And Taj was a baby and Jaya was a toddler. And we got down into the restaurant and Keddie was going over the table. I went straight to the buffet. And I get straight to the buffet. I get the bacon and eggs. I get the tomato. I got the hash browns. I got the muffins. I got the crumpets. I got some orange juice. Got myself. I go back and I sit down at the table and I'm thinking, this is awesome. And I'm looking at my meal, and then I look up, and there's Keddy holding my boy Taj, crying in his owner arms, and there's the toddler Jay as he's pulling at the jumper, and I looked in the eyes of Keddy, and it was like looking into the eye of Mordor, and I could see there was a fire in her eyes, but it wasn't a Holy Spirit fire, and right then I felt the Holy Spirit just come upon me, and I looked at her and I said, this is not for me. This is for you. I said, I got this for you. Let me just go back and get some more for the kids. And you know, but that's just our selfish nature. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. I need Him for situation. The Bible says this in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. That's the key part you need to listen to. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. I've found that I have a default setting inside of me. That if I don't choose to live out of my spirit nature of God, I automatically default to my flesh nature. It's an automatic default. That's just how it is. And Paul said in Philippians 3:3, he said, I put no confidence in the flesh, because your flesh is not going to live for God. Your flesh wants to live its own life. Your flesh wants to do what is contrary to the Spirit. But when I choose to live out of my spirit nature, I become closer to Him. I become more like Him. His love, His grace, His peace, His patience starts to come out of my life when I sow into Him and spend time with Him. And that's why your flesh and your spirit are in a constant battle. And that's why you got to learn to sow to your spirit man each day. You got to learn to pray and spend time with God and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask Him to come. Why do you need the Holy Spirit in your life? I'll tell you the role of the Holy Spirit, because He teaches us in John 14. He guides us in John 16. He prays through us in Romans chapter 8. He empowers us in Hebrews chapter 2. He changes us in 2 Corinthians 3. He never leaves us in John 14. He lives in us in Romans 8. He sends us in Acts 13. He anoints us in Luke chapter 4, brings visions to us in Joel 2. He illuminates the word in the book of Corinthians, and he strengthens us in Ephesians. That's why you need the Holy Spirit every day in your life. So what does the baptism look like? This day of Pentecost, what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit look like? That's what I want to talk about. If you're taking notes, here's the first thing to write down. Number one, it's an inexplicable experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an inexplicable experience. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a mystery. It's unable to be explained. Because why? We're natural, but your God is supernatural. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. You see, the natural mind can't comprehend the supernatural. And that's why we need to trust. Okay, that's when it comes to an explicable experience, that's why we need to trust. Because sometimes you can't explain him, you just have to experience him. So that's why we need to trust. When I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, I remember I was on a high for about a week. I mean, I remember when I first got baptized, I was in the Holy Spirit, I was about 14 years of age. And I just remember this high like I'd never experienced before. Now, I'd seen other people get high, okay, but it was a different type of high. It was like the green Mercedes-Benz high. It was the Puff the Magic Dragon high. I'd seen people get high with drugs before, but I hadn't experienced what I was feeling that day when I got baptized. It was a high like, and it didn't just happen and then go. It stayed with me the entire week. That week I woke up and I was like, this feeling, I didn't know how to explain it. I'd say, this feeling's just not going away. And I was talking to my mum about it, and I went to school. And on the second day, this girl turns around in science class and she says, there's something different about you. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? You know, but I knew that I'd changed, that the Holy Spirit had come in my life. And she said, did you go surfing this morning? And I said, no. And she said, did you get a girlfriend? And I said, no. She said, did you pass the exam? And I said, no. No. But then she said, this true story, she said, did you become a Spirit-filled Christian? And I said, yes. I couldn't believe she knew about this stuff. And so that lunchtime we sat down and I just told her exactly what happened to me. It's an inexplicable experience. You can't explain it. You don't know it. But all you know is when he fills you, he changes you. And so number two. So it's an inexplicable experience. Number two, it's a separate experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience. Acts chapter 8, verse 15-17, it says, when they arrived, this is Peter and John, they prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience. It is separate from your salvation experience. You see, even though at times they might occur simultaneously, it is still a separate experience. My mum had been saved for many years. A follower of Jesus. She was planted in Anglican church, prayed every day, was strong in the Lord, but received the baptism of the Spirit many years after her salvation. It was a separate experience. Mine, however, was not like that. When I got saved, I remember sitting in church and I was at my sister's church for the first time. And it was a Pentecostal church. There was the preaching of the word. There was worship. And then at the end, the minister says, if you want to come forward for prayer, I want to pray for people. And in my head, I'm like going, I'm not going forward. I'm not going forward. And I'm staying in my seat. I'm not going forward. And I was sort of a bit freaked out. It was my first time. But everything that the man was saying was resonating with me like, this is what I need. This is what I've been looking for. And so under my breath, when the service had completely finished, I sat in the chair. And under my breath, when people were leaving, I just said, God, if you're real, what he's talking about, come into my heart. And immediately, I felt this overwhelming presence of like standing under a waterfall but not getting wet. It was like waves of love coming through me and waves of peace, and every bit of hurt and hatred was leaving my body. And then all at the same time, I start speaking in other languages, in tongues. I didn't know what it was. I'm just like Nikki Naki Nora Dora the Explorer. I'm like, she come on a Honda, she come on a Honda. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm saying all of these things, but all I knew is that it was God filling my heart. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though sometimes it can happen simultaneously, it is a separate experience for you from your salvation. Here's the next one, number three. It is a necessary experience. The baptism in the Spirit is essential for your walk with God. Why? Because it's a command. You see, Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. It empowers us to be a witness in Acts chapter 1. He enables us to use the gifts of the Spirit in Acts chapter 10. That's why we need to receive. You see, Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, he said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. The baptism and the filling of the Spirit, sometimes when you, if you're trying to explain it, sometimes I put it like this. It's like the baptism of the Spirit is like plugging an appliance into the power socket of the wall. It's like plugging an appliance in your kitchen into the wall, into the power socket. And there is the initial power that comes when you turn it on. The initial power comes from plugging in. But then the filling of the Spirit is like turning the switch on each day. It's just turning the switch on each day. You don't need to plug yourself back in again. No, you're already connected to the power source. When you were baptized, you've already been connected to the power source of God. And then the filling is just like turning the switch on each day. Turning the switch on each day and saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you today. I need you to lead me, to guide me. Be my comforter. Be my counselor. Be my advocate. Fill me today with your strength. Fill me with your presence. That's the filling of the Spirit. I was at a friend's house. They're pastors up the North Coast, and Katie and I were visiting, and we were having lunch with them out on their deck and on their veranda, and we had great food, salmon. Oh, love a good salmon. It was beautiful salmon. We're cooking up, eating a bit of salmon. Yes, love a good salmon. And so we're eating the salmon, having a great time. We're talking about what the Holy Spirit has been doing in our lives and in our church and what's been happening. And now they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the conversation, you know, the husband said, Sanger, he said, you reckon you could pray and just pray that we'd be filled with the Spirit again? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And we all just held hands on the table. And right there at the lunch table, I just closed my eyes. We asked the Holy Spirit to come. The next minute, the lady, the wife, she starts getting filled with the Spirit. She starts laughing. She starts laughing out loud, belly laughing, the joy of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the joy of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts that filled people. And she starts laughing and laughing. She literally fell off the table, holding her belly, laughing. And then the husband, his head just sort of starts to go down. And he was just like getting filled, almost like he was drunk. And you think, what, drunk? Well, that's what happened in the book of Acts as well. Peter got up and he said, they're not drunk like you suppose. He said, they're being filled with the Spirit. And there was something about them. And at the end of that time, they got so excited what God was doing. And then he rings me a week later and he said, Sanger, he said, we went to church on Sunday. And at the end of the service, I got up and I just talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I just said to the church, if you want to be filled, you can come forward. He said, our church went on for another hour and a half. He said, the service just got people getting filled everywhere with the Holy Spirit. And I love when the Holy Spirit moves like that. You see, we don't understand the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand. He's an inexplicable experience. You can't always explain how the Holy Spirit moves. I don't know why some people laugh when the Holy Spirit fills them. I don't know why some people cry. I don't know why some people get drunk where you can't walk. I don't know why some people fall. But all I know is when the Holy Spirit moves, He's doing something in those moments. He's doing something in those instants that's bringing change and can produce fruit that wasn't there, can bring it out. I mean, I've seen it firsthand where people have been at the end of their rope, where they were like, you know what, I'm giving up. I'm giving up on God. I'm at the end. I was sharing with the young adults, you know, Keddie and I, our journey in Hillsong. We got to the end of our line one time. There's been a lot of things going on in our church. Keep praying for our church, will you please? The media loves our church. And there's a lot of things going on. And I remember I just, you know, we were going to resign. We were going to finish. And to be honest, I was feeling like I was going to finish ministry. I felt like I was going to go out and I was going to flip houses, and that's what I was going to do, take a few years off, and we were going to do that, and we were going to be happy to do that because we were so broken. We were so empty on the inside. But, you know, we're at the meeting of Hillsong Conference last year, and Cash Luna started to minister, and the Holy Spirit started to come, and I felt His power like I haven't felt before. It was like electricity going through my body. I couldn't move on my seat. I couldn't get up. I couldn't talk, but it was just power was holding me down. And then the following night, I literally felt drunk. I couldn't walk. I went to walk and I fell over. And I went to talk and I couldn't speak. And I don't know why that happened, but I knew the Holy Spirit was doing something inside of me. But let me tell you, say, oh, well, what's the point of that? Let me tell you, it changed my life. That moment has changed my life forever. It's changed my life. The biggest encounters that I've been having with the Holy Spirit have not been at a conference or in a church service or on an altar call, but they've been happening in my living room, been happening in my kitchen, been happening in my lounge room, been happening in my car, where I'm daily getting filled, daily asking Him to come. And I've always moved in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit and been led by the Spirit, but now what I'm experiencing is just an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And you can know Him like that as well. You can have Him like that as well. That's who He is. He's a necessary experience. What about this one? He's an evident experience. Number four, He's an evident experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has an outward expression of ministering in the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in the heavenly language of the Spirit, speaking in tongues. The Bible says people were filled with the Spirit, and that's why we should speak when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5 records five accounts of where the book of Acts records five accounts of where people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were filled and they spoke in tongues. The people of Samaria in Acts chapter 8, they were filled. Paul in Acts chapter 9, he was filled. And Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And then in Cornelius and the Gentiles at Caesarea in Acts chapter 10, they were filled and they spoke in tongues. The disciples of Ephesus, they were filled and they spoke in tongues. I don't know why the Holy Spirit fills people some way and then He fills others another way. I don't know why some people speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit fills them and other people don't speak in tongues. I don't know, like it happened in the book of Acts as well. Some did, some didn't. I don't know. I don't know why some laugh, why some cry. I don't know all of those questions. He's a mystery, how the Holy Spirit moves. But one thing I know is I want to be open to it. I want to be open to Him to just fill me and allow His Spirit to come and fill me however He chooses to. You see, I remember praying for a friend, Phil, many years ago. Not Phil Dooley, this is not that Phil, just so you know, but this is Phil, a mate that was in our church when I was very young, about 18 or 19, and he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we would pray with him on altar calls weeks after weeks and months after months. We'd pray, Lord, fill him, Lord, fill him. And he'd open his eyes, he'd say, nothing yet. Not feeling it yet, guys. Nothing happening. And this just went on and on. And we'd pray for him and then he'd go, nothing. You know, not feeling anything. And you can be seeing other people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and not be feeling anything. But the thing is with Phil is he stayed open. I went off to Bible college. Phil calls me 2 years later. He was in another church and he said, you know, Sanger, he said, I just wanted to thank you. He said, for praying for me for all those years to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I know that maybe I wasn't ready or maybe, I don't know why, but he said, I just wanted to tell you. He said, last Sunday I got filled with the Spirit. I was in worship in our church and Holy Spirit hit me and I started speaking in tongues. And he said, what a beautiful experience it is. He said, what a beautiful relationship it is. He said, I never knew it before. And he said, I just want to thank you because he said, I think that you were sowing seeds into my heart to be open for this. And I love that because where do you think tongues comes from? It comes from heaven. It's a heavenly language. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it comes from. And you know, there's benefits to speaking in tongues. It's a gift from God in Corinthians. It builds up your faith in Jude 20. It strengthens you in your weakness in Romans 8. You're praying the perfect will of God for every believer in Romans chapter 8. You edify yourself in the book of Corinthians. There's benefits to speaking. So it's an evident experience. And the last thing that I want to say is it is an empowering experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an empowering experience. Why don't we stand to our feet? The baptism of the Holy Spirit should change us. It should actually cause us to want to be a witness for Him. To actually share our faith with others when we've been filled. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses. And that's why we need to testify. We need to testify, share our faith. I was at a mate's house. We usually prayed on a Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night we'd pray. And then one time he said, why don't you come over for dinner a little bit earlier? I was young, I was single, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And his sister was there, and his mum and dad was there. And we're sitting down, we're having a roast dinner. I love a good roast. Oh, there was the crackling of the pork was sensational that night. I remember the roast crackling and the baked potatoes and the pumpkin. And I'm just enjoying the roast. It's gravy that you die for, you know, it's incredible gravy. So I'm eating the roast, I'm having a good time. And we're all at the table. And I look up and I see Dave's sister. And I felt the Holy Spirit give me this word, like unconditional love. And I just kept going and eating into the roast. And I looked up again. I looked at her and I felt unconditional love. And I look back down. I'm back into the crackling. And I look up again, unconditional, you know, love. And I'm like, God, I'm not getting into this right now at the dinner table. And I just felt it keep coming and coming. And then I put my knife and fork down. I said, okay. And I said, oh, hey, Maggie. I said, because I haven't seen her for 2 years. She's been living with her husband up the coast. And I said, look, I said, so nice to have dinner with you tonight. And I said, I just want you to know, I feel like God wants you to know something. I feel like God wants you to know that His love for you is an unconditional love. And then I just got straight back into that roast potatoes. And I'm just into it, you know, put my head down. Well, her knife and fork drops and hits the plate. She starts sobbing at the table, bawling her eyes out, crying. And Dave's mum and dad look at me like, what have you done? And I'm like, okay. And so we finished dinner. Dave and I take his sister into the living room. And we said, Maggie, we said, do you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart? And she's like, I do. I want to know His love. And I didn't know that the reason why Maggie was home is because her husband had had an affair, run off with another girl. She's back there with a little child, visiting mum for the first time in 2 years. And the one thing that God wanted her to know is that His love is unconditional for her. And so we pray for her to accept Jesus into her heart in the living room. And as she says the prayer, the Holy Spirit hits her like a ton of bricks, completely fills her. She starts speaking in tongues instantly, falls to the ground and is shaking on the floor. And I'm like, this is the whole package in one. This was like God really did a number on her. I want to tell you, it was unbelievable. It was just the beautiful power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we just are open to Him, He comes in a mighty way. And I want to...
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.